Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
One of those things, a couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in the...
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with...
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic...
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Randy Montez McMichael as Randy, and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
You can't say Randy without saying Andy. It's the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day.
Hump day.
Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. NFL Draft Eve, first round Draft Eve, that is. A lot to get to today throughout the show. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? It's all good over here, Andy Bunker. As you said, one day closer to this draft and everything and all the dreams and everything is fulfilled by these young men. It was good to see TD. I was teasing him and whispering there. I was there 17. But here nor there, you know.
He was here then, or he was in
New
England?
No, he was in New England.
He was in New England.
Yeah, he was in New
England.
Okay. I was there 17.
Yeah, no, I'm sure they.
Yeah, I was there 17.
Who did they go with?
Graham. Daniel Graham, who's a good player.
Oh, yeah, but that would have been better to pick you.
Was it 21? 21. One of them. But anyways, you know, neither here nor there.
Water
lasted longer than all of them.
Yeah, but, and you got to live in Miami instead of New England.
Yeah, last longer than all. He did win a ring, though.
That's true.
Yeah,
he could have.
Yeah, I can't win those.
But
anyway,
you know what?
It is.
You know what? The path led you here, this is where we are today. And there's obviously a lot to
discuss. Like I said, as we get ready for the draft, and last night I was just like, okay, let's start jotting down Randy stuff about draft. Came with a whole lot of stuff, scenarios that we'll talk about. It's obviously the rumors are out there. Heard them all morning about different teams going up for different quarterbacks. One quarterback saying, I'm cool on this team, but I really want to go here. I mean, it's just so much stuff that goes on.
Is that Jaden?
Yeah. I'm cool.
He didn't like the Topgolf thing at all.
Yeah, at all.
Like, he doesn't want to play for the Commanders.
He don't want to play for the Commanders.
At all.
I don't think he wants to play for them.
No. Like, I really think he doesn't want to play.
Yeah, I don't think he wants to play for them.
If they draft him, obviously he'll go there and he'll play for them. But, like, Jaden Daniels.
I don't think he wants to go.
That speed date quarterback Topgolf situation.
It rubbed him the wrong way.
Man. He wants to play for the Raiders.
Yes.
Because Antonio Pierce was an assistant coach at Arizona State when he was there.
And then anything gonna happen to him, but that whole Herm thing.
I know.
5 years.
I bet Antonio Pierce was like, hey, maybe don't bring up the fact that I was at Arizona State a couple years ago.
5 years?
Yeah, no, Herm will never coach in college. Not that he was probably ever gonna coach in college again, but some of those assistants, it's more than 5 years show cause on some of those guys.
Yeah,
like
man.
Some of the longest penalties
ever
handed down in NCAA for what they had going on at Arizona State.
Yeah, man.
And my whole thing is with that is, and we'll talk about it for 1 second and then get back to the other stuff. they didn't even win anything. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. If you're going to cheat your ass off, yeah, like Patino and some of these other guys that get caught all the time for it, at least win.
Make them take stuff away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah.
What, are they going to vacate a Sun Bowl appearance or something like that for Arizona State?
Yeah. Like, no. When all you got is stuff like that, like, you can keep that.
Yeah, you keep that. Yeah,
you, you know what? Now you keep that.
That's how you know. That's how you know you didn't do anything, because they don't even take anything away. Yeah, you guys want to vacate some wins?
Yeah.
What wins?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. I mean, they were, I'll never forget when we did college football game time. They were my upset special every week, though. Mm-hmm. Arizona State that first year.
Well, if you picked them to upset Washington, they did that a couple of times. Like, they definitely, if they could vacate those wins and Washington go back and have them, we've been in the college football playoff three times by now instead of just two.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it is crazy time now. As you get to the draft, obviously NBA playoffs still going on. Did not have the same attention of mine like the previous night did.
Neither did I. Let me ask you if you were in the same boat as me, because there was sort of two things at play. One of them was that the games just weren't as, you know, they weren't as riveting.
Right.
But I was worn out, man. Staying up till 1 o'clock in the morning the night before,
I couldn't do it again.
I couldn't stay up for the Clippers Mavs game.
No, I'm talking about eyes rolling.
Yeah.
Just tired.
Couldn't do it.
Tired. But it obviously some good games there in the hometown team. We needed it from them. And I tell you, the biggest thing about it was, because I was like, damn, Max looks good. Oh, damn. It's the sixth inning. He only has 40 pitches.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Does he go all the way? Does Nick let him go?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. And, yes, I know, well, actually, crew, because they were out last night. Yes, I know it was the Marlins.
Oh, God, come
on.
Come on.
All right, come on, man.
Stop it.
Come on now. Come on.
And they did it with Bryce Elder the other night, too, and I tweeted something about his good performance. Like, well, maybe he could start doing it against teams that aren't the Marlins. Well, I don't know. He did it against the Marlins, so I don't feel the need to take an immediate dump on something that was amazing. If that's what you want to do,
right?
Great. Good for you. Sounds like a fun way to be. He had a Maddux, which is such a fun term for a game anyway, to be a Braves pitcher and then achieve something like that, which is complete game under 100 pitches, which Max did. When you have a complete game under 100 pitches, the game's probably going to go pretty fast, which it did, under 2 hours. It felt the night before was really fast, too.
Yeah.
154.
Yeah, man.
On a night where everybody had to stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning the night before to watch the end of that Lakers game. Yeah.
Can we get more of those?
Like, I'll say I know that commissioners in general in any league, in any sport, are oftentimes unpopular, and I understand it. They have to sort of bear the brunt of a lot of the bad stuff. I don't think anybody likes baseball commissioner, but they got that right.
Oh.
The pitch clock and some of the game speed kind of stuff, they got that right.
I agree.
You got to give them credit where credit's due, because they nailed that thing.
I agree. And like you said, Max was really, really good last night. Travis Darnold continues to do Travis Darnold things.
Yep.
And just one of the just best stretches that you had. Adam Vaughn comes in and sees what he does when he gets in there. I mean, he's going to hit the ball over the fence anytime he gets a pitch to hit. You just continue to move on as far as who's going tonight. Who's going tonight? Chris Sale's going tonight, right? Lopez is going. I'm sorry. Thank you, Bo.
Yeah.
Lopez is going tonight. So, and he's been, we know how he's been all season long. So far this season, how he's been one of the most, been maybe the most consistent pitcher.
He's been the best pitcher they've had so far
this season. So you get an opportunity to see him. Still got to see Matt Olson. I didn't realize he was struggling like he was until I saw the numbers yesterday.
Yeah, that's the amazing thing about the start for the Braves.
I had a question for you. Didn't he struggle at one point last year?
Yeah, everybody does.
No, I mean, he was struggling. Schnitt moved him down, right?
Yeah, they moved him in the lineup at one point last year. I don't remember when it was. He got a pretty good start.
Yeah.
And then
I'm trying to remember.
They kind of shuffled him around a little bit.
They did move him down.
But, I mean, that's the credit to what the team is doing at 16-6 is, I mean, Acuna hasn't really done much yet, you know. Obviously, Olson hadn't really done anything yet. There's a handful of guys that you know are going to at some point really take off in that lineup that haven't. You've been riding. Ozuna has been fantastic. Arcia's been good. They even haven't batted second last night. I thought when Ozzy went down, Harris was just going to be in that two spot and just be there permanently. Yes. He's batted all over. He was batting eighth last night.
Yeah, and I'm curious to get Grant. Is it what do you think the reason is behind it? Is it left righty?
Not sure.
Something like that. But I mean, yeah. I mean, it's Michael, man. You put him anywhere.
Yeah.
You put that brother anywhere, man. He gonna do his thing. We know that. And yeah, like you said, three of your boppers just haven't got it going yet, and yet they're finding ways to win it. And they're too good of baseball players. Or you call it the baseball card.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
They'll be fine.
Yeah, they're all really good, and they're gonna hit. And when they do, they'll continue to win. That's the, again, the thing about it is winning all these games with those guys not hitting so far is remarkable, because the Braves are the best team in baseball and they continue to prove it. All right, so Greg Cosell is going to join us from NFL Films in about half an hour from right now. We talk to him every year before the draft, one of the best guys to talk to as far as breaking down prospects and digging into. He's been with NFL Network and NFL Films forever and ever, so he's going to be able to sort of make references to other guys that he's seen that maybe are good comparisons and give you a breakdown of what, obviously we'll ask him about the pass rushers. I heard him say something last night about Latu from UCLA that I was already on. Like, I was there. I was there with Latu. Yeah. He's the guy I want the Falcons
to
take.
Yeah, he's the best defensive player
in
the draft.
If they stay at eight, take him at eight. Yes. If they trade back, hopefully he's still there and you can get him. But that's who I hope the Falcons draft in the first round is Latu out of UCLA.
Yeah.
He compared him to, and he didn't say that he wasn't saying I think his NFL career is going to be this, but he compared him to a guy that I know is a sore subject for Falcons fans anyway, because the last time the Falcons took a pass rusher from UCLA, they could have taken this guy and they didn't. He said he reminds him of T.J. Watt.
Yeah.
Sold.
Yeah,
great.
That's how he is. Sold.
I was already sold.
Yeah.
Sold times two.
I think he's the best defensive
Take
player.
Take Latu. Take him.
Andy, I think he's the best defensive player in the draft. And I know I said earlier this week, I was like, because I kept saying last week, I was like, well, he got that nick. If they ain't worried about it, I ain't worried about it.
And he's not worried about
and
it.
He's not
I heard him
about
talk about, he was on Max Crosby's podcast last night, and he was like, yeah, they made me do that.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, no, let me play. I'm fine. I don't even feel it. And basically the medical staff was like, no, you have to retire. It's not safe. And he was like, no, I don't. I'm going to keep playing.
Right.
And here he is not too long from then. Probably going to be a top 10, at least a top 15 pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's fine. He's a ball player, but everything is about fit, character, you know, because pretty much I heard Terry Fontenot, when he was talking to media yesterday, we sent all the scouts home, you know, they'll be all back probably tomorrow in the whole war room and everything like that, and now they're going into their process of background checks of these players and things. I mean, they've been doing that, but this, like, you know, right around this time, it goes deep dive. And you talk about your security is getting in, all kind of personal info about you, and, you know, I mean, they've already talked to the school teachers and that does actually happen.
Sure, of course.
But I'm talking about
it should.
To, you know,
you're about to mortgage your franchise on this guy.
That does happen. They
I
do
better
talk,
find
they,
out what he's
they
like.
They do talk to principals and all that stuff. I didn't realize that until I actually talked to the principal and the guided counselor was like, yeah, you know,
like when they were drafting you.
Yeah, she was like, oh, so and so called and all that.
And they
actually do that.
And the Seahawks still took Jeremy Stephens.
They did.
I guess they didn't talk to the Seattle Police Department.
Yeah.
Maybe they talked to his third grade teacher.
Maybe.
If they would have talked to the Seattle Police Department, they probably wouldn't have drafted him. Oh, that guy's a bad guy. He's a criminal. You shouldn't take him.
Yeah.
Take Randy. He's awesome.
I'm pretty good.
Take him.
I'm trying to think. I would have got to know you. We would have ran into
maybe,
each other.
Maybe, but not like he wouldn't have known me. I would have been the dork in the locker room getting post game audio.
But I got along with all the media guys.
Sure,
I did.
Yeah, but you know, the way we met was better.
We would have hung out.
Oh yeah, we would have been best friends. I'm sure when you were a starting tight end in your mid 20s, one of your favorite things to do was hang out with the local radio producers. What are those guys up to tonight? What are they doing? Thirsty Thursdays. That's what we're doing, Randy. All right. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Come back, tell you what's trending, including what Brian Snitker is talking about here.
Which is even bigger in the big scheme of things.
How much bigger can it get? We'll find out next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah, it was good. It was, you know, we didn't even have to warm anybody up, which is even bigger in the big scheme of things as far as the bullpen goes.
Right. Like, nobody even had to think about getting up, let alone coming in the game and bailing out an eighth and ninth inning or something like that. There was, like, one moment of mild anxiety when Austin kind of misplayed a ball at third.
Right.
I think it was an error probably. So you got runners on first and second. Immediate double play. And then the third out of the inning, Austin Riley fielded it cleanly, made the throw over to first, and that was that. So he got to feel better about it.
A lot of barehandedness the other day.
Yeah, a lot of raw dogging.
A lot of raw dogging.
Yeah, in the
ball,
infield. Yeah. No, Austin Riley very clearly has
improved.
He worked on a couple different things.
Yes.
And even upped his game even further defensively, because he looks really sharp to start the season. We said it yesterday, and this is not to poo-poo on it like we were making fun of people for doing in the first segment. It's a good lineup to get right against.
Yeah.
Like, if Max Fried was going to sort of have one of those vintage Max Fried performances like you asked for, that's the right lineup to do it against. Now, if he got rocked by him, we'd be killing him for
it. Yeah, exactly.
So you give him credit for going out there and doing what he did, and he looked really good. I don't want to overblow it and say he needed it, but it probably felt really good, given the way his season had started.
Right.
Like, he kind of did need it.
Yeah,
he needed to have a start like
that. Yeah, he needed it, man. I mean, obviously, sometimes you got what's the word in my league? Slump bust? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes you need that.
Yeah, and I mean, again, not to overblow. It's not like Max was going to get taken out of the rotation.
Not going
to
overblow.
It's not
anything.
Like Max was having great self-confidence issues.
It was great to see Max.
It was nice to see him have a start like
that. Yes, it was.
Because more this year than any other year, I think, probably never seen it before. Because every once in a while during a Max start on Twitter, you see people being like, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't have it anymore.
Right.
Maybe he's like, I don't know. Pump the brakes. You know, we'll see. I think Max is fine.
He's fine.
He was hurt last year and it was kind of inconsistent. Still pretty good last year, and he's gotten off to an inconsistent start this year too. But yeah, it was nice to see him.
Buckle on down, Max, and let's get this thing rolling. Stay healthy and all that other good stuff too. But yeah, I thought he was excellent yesterday. And just like Nick said, once he got out of the eight, I was like, okay, yeah.
You got to let him go.
You got to let him go for it and everything. Again, he was under 100 pitches. And you knew that, you know, just close this thing out. And obviously you get you some rest. And, I think Max is great. I do. I was a little worried.
About what?
About him.
Oh, just kind of so far this year?
Yeah. I was a little worried. I won't lie. I was a little worried. Not saying that I didn't think. Not to say that I don't think he could.
I just don't know.
Have the performance he has, but I was just wondering. I was like, why is he so like?
Yeah.
Right. This early.
And there were some. You know, there's some stuff that he switched up yesterday. He was throwing that slider more. He had been throwing the sweeper, something that he had worked on coming into the year.
Right. And that could
he
be
went
it.
Back to a pitch that he was much more comfortable with. The curveball was absolutely
curving
ridiculous yesterday, and that's when he's at his best. So I know maybe it was just sort of getting some of that feel back. I don't know, but my thing is just always like, he's not old.
I know.
Right? And he didn't get injured to the point where it's going to change his mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just had no reason to wonder. Sometimes guys are like, oh, yeah, this guy probably doesn't have it anymore.
No, I wasn't worried about Max not having it.
Yeah.
I was just worried about him coming into this year. Damn. Especially with Spencer out. I think that was my biggest thing.
It.
I was like, damn, ain't no Spencer.
Got it.
Max looking like this. What the hell's going to happen?
Yeah.
That was my thing.
Good to see him pitch the way that he did yesterday. Yeah. Again, a Maddox for Max Fried, which is complete game under 100 pitches.
To get something called after you.
Yeah.
He's got so dope.
So Max Fried now has the third most Maddoxes in Braves history. Do you know who has the most?
Probably Greg Maddux.
Yeah, that's right. It'd be really funny if it wasn't. No, actually, it's Steve Avery. Yeah, that's Greg Maddux. And then I think Tom Glavine had a few of them.
Okay.
And then, yeah, Max
Fried. You know, when we talked to Steve Avery.
Yeah.
We did that,
Steve Avery seemed like a fun guy.
He's like a cool-ass dude.
Yeah, man. I didn't know anything about him other than he was really good
on
that staff back in the day. And then, yeah, we did – what was that? It was during COVID,
it
right?
It was like a –
it was one of those hangout clubhouse things.
Hangout clubhouse thing, yeah.
Yeah, it was like if you're a Braves fan, you could pay a fee and watch the live feed of the game with former players and interact and stuff like that. And for some reason, they thought people would want to talk to us, too. But they paid us for it, which was awesome. But then, like, it was like Fred McGriff and Steve Avery just, like, telling stories about back in the day. And Steve Avery was a wild dude.
Yes, he was.
It was fun to hear.
A wild boy.
And open about it, too, which was cool.
I'm thinking, like, if I was a – If I was a pitcher, I think I'd be a wild boy.
You can be.
I think I'd be a wild boy.
Yeah. Like you. Okay. So
especially like a reliever, relief pitcher.
Relief pitcher is hard though because you never know when you're gonna get called on.
Right.
You're a starting pitcher. Like you're Max Fried. You absolutely did great last night. If he wanted to, and I'm not saying that he will, but if he wanted to, he could have got blacked out drunk last night because he doesn't have to pitch again for five more days. You do whatever you want.
Yeah, man.
I used to work with. Back in the day, doing the Mariners postgame show, a former pitcher named Norm Charlton. Do you remember Norm Charlton?
I do not.
He pitched for the Reds in the 90s and some other teams, and the Mariners, obviously, which is how I ended up in Seattle. He would talk about, when the game was over, like, if I knew I wasn't coming in, we were getting it going in the bullpen. And then after the game, after it, all night, whatever. And then you just come in early and get some cardio, sweat it out, get in the sauna, and you're good to go.
Because I remember, like, being
every night.
When I played in San Diego for the Chargers. And I ain't charging. And say they ain't a real party town or whatever, but I knew Weaver. What's his damn name? Weaver, because I played with his uncle in Miami. Anyways, he was they were playing the Angels. We played for the Angels, and they were in San Diego.
Oh, Jared Weaver?
Jared, yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah.
Jeff Weaver is his brother, paid for the Mariners. Not as good as Jared.
And so he was he pitched, and they were in town for the next three nights, and I'd be damn. Every night he had Brawley Mash wilding out.
Jared Weaver looks like that.
Yeah, boy.
He had a real drunk face at a young age.
Ooh, woo. So, yeah, you let me be a pitcher in Atlanta? Please. I wonder what Doc did when he came here.
Oh,
no,
God.
I don't.
Yeah,
never mind. Never mind. I'm sorry.
Trouble.
I'm sorry, Lord. That was not funny.
I bet it was fun. It's fun. All right. Terry Fontenot met with the media yesterday, the annual pre-draft media session. He gave away all the secrets.
Damn, Terry.
He lost his touch. He accidentally got asked all the right questions and told everyone what they're going to do. Here's Terry Fontenot spilling the beans.
We had a meeting with Arthur right before that, and I'll say this, Led. We've obviously finished up our meetings, and we finished up all of our we've had the medical meetings. We finished up with the scouts, sent the scouts home at the end of last week. We still have another security meeting coming up, and so there's still boxes to check. We feel great about where we are, but it really goes down to the wire. And the hay's not in the barn until we turn that card in. So we feel great about where we are, but we're still working through it.
Who's going to be the team who, because all 32 teams on the first round, the cameras in their war room, who's going to cut the fool the biggest this year? Is it going to be Detroit again? Because remember last year how Detroit was like just cutting up.
They were going nuts. When they got Jameer Gibbs.
Yeah, they
right?
were going
they went
nuts.
Crazy.
It'll probably be them again.
It might be.
It'll probably be them again.
Like, who's got fun personalities? The Raiders seem like they've got, like, a fun collection.
I think AP.
Yeah, AP. And that they trade up and get a quarterback.
Especially him quarterback.
Yeah. Something about Penix and the Raiders just kind of, I can see it. When I close my, you got that written down? Yeah, see? Randy's got all his notes over. That's how you know Randy's ready.
Yep.
It looks like a serial killer has been here writing a manifesto, but in fact, it's Randy's draft notes. Randy's ready. I know. I the best thing about your draft notes is if someone stole that, they couldn't even cheat because they don't know what it says. No one knows
what
it says.
Lines and scribbles everywhere. this is like you said, it's all right now. There are some teams, and obviously it happens on the day of, and if you're talking about they're saying the draft starts at 3.
Mm-hmm.
It might start at 2, depending on who the hell the Commanders take.
Sure.
Because I don't know if – I think teams that need quarterbacks will move up to get either one, Jaden or Drake May.
I think so, too.
But it's different. You know what I mean? Like,
but different teams,
but
value,
different teams value
those guys differently.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
For instance, if the Commanders were to take Drake May,
yes.
There's teams in the NFL that think Jaden's the
best
guy
quarterback
in the draft.
Yeah. Exactly.
So if he's there at 3, the Patriots might get a –
Yeah, and as we were talking, you were talking, I was like, thinking about, because I was writing down possible, I was doing it for the Falcons, possible guys that could be added into a draft day trade, maybe.
Okay, like active NFL players?
Yeah, they're on the team right now.
Oh,
the Falcons have active on their team, if they want to go in a different direction, maybe.
That's fun. You want to hang on to that?
Yeah,
or you want to do that now?
Yeah, I hang on to it.
That's
I
good.
Do it just in case, and I'm not saying it would happen, but just in case, they might, maybe.
Maybe half an hour?
Okay.
Like NFL no huddle?
Sounds good.
Randy will give you a couple of current Falcons that could be traded on draft night?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Possibility.
That's juicy. I like it. All right. So last night's NFL. Greg Cosell is going to join us in 10 minutes. NFL Films, NFL Network. One of our favorite guys to talk prospects with. We'll get his thoughts on as many of these guys as we possibly can that might have ties to the Falcons. Last night's NBA slate was good. hard to live up to the one the night before. Right. There was still some great moments, including this one.
13 of 32, 41%. Doncic, 5 to shoot. Against Harden, Doncic lines it up. It goes! With a minute 26 to go in L.A.
That was pretty much game, yeah. Although the Clippers still made it interesting. Luka had to make a real clever, borderline dangerous pass to Kyrie under their own hoop to get it out of the press and get Kyrie to the free throw line. That was when that ball left his hands. I watched it this morning on replay, but I was right. Like, oh no.
Yeah. Kawhi's first game back, and he said that, so I can't judge Mark and judge my play. I ain't played in like 20 some days, which is, it was just true.
Yeah.
You know,
they're better without him, clearly. Better without him.
Yeah. All right. I think that, you know, you look at the Bucks, they're getting beat by Indy.
Yeah.
You know, Siakam went bonkers last night. They get 38 points.
Yep.
And, you know, Dame just couldn't get it going like he did last time. Obviously, they need Giannis. There's still no timetable. 2 days off between the next game. I don't know. You know, Doc didn't say anything as far as timetable when it comes to him, coming back and everything. And Phoenix just ain't tough, man.
Nope. Performance of the night was Jaden McDaniels.
Yes.
Like, and everybody has that famous Ant-Man quote of the summer interview where he was like, yeah, you know, they got KD, but we got Jaden McDaniels. Yes. Jaden McDaniels outplayed him last night.
Did.
And kind of locked him up, too, which I'm not trying to say anybody's better than anybody, okay? Don't get me wrong here. But he played really, really good last night.
I don't think Phoenix, and it's hard for me to believe, but this is the freaking NBA today, that they're going to break this thing up in Phoenix.
I don't know about break it up, but, like, I mean, it didn't work,
right? It didn't
work. See, Bradley Beal maybe gets traded again.
And I think he might be the one.
Yeah.
He might be the one.
Because it was supposed to – remember they got him. It was like, oh, can the Nuggets compete? And it was like, hang on a second. The Nuggets just beat the hell out of everybody.
Beat the hell.
Let's treat them like champions here. Like, I know it's the summertime and you need a hot take.
And we didn't even mention yesterday about the Nuggets. Yeah, Jokic's brother putting hands on somebody. Dude ate it, though.
Yeah.
He ate it.
Do we know the details yet?
No.
Because There's a chance the guy deserved it.
It could be, but I mean, he ate that punch though, and I ain't saying Jokic, his brother, like wound up and popped him.
Right, but not everybody could take that.
Yeah, he ate that. He ate it though.
Good for him.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one guy I don't want to get punched by. Anyone whose last name is Jokic.
It just seems like it would hurt.
Yeah, just a big Eastern European fist.
It would hurt.
No thanks. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Greg Cosell. Going to join us next. You're going to like the comparison that he made as far as Latu from UCLA. If he says it again, we'll try to get him to say it again. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Hump day, 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. Randy's going to let you know a couple Falcons players that are currently on the roster that may get traded on draft night. Not saying they're going to, but some guys that there's a possibility if the Falcons were to go that direction. Could be candidates for a trade on draft day. Of course, that's tomorrow. We've got you covered all day long. But before we get there, always look forward to this pre-draft conversation that we have here on the midday show. Greg Cosell, NFL Films, NFL Network. Greg, how are you?
CC.
Doing great, guys. How are you?
Doing good. Very ready for tomorrow. Obviously, we've been talking about it and getting ready for it and excited about it and all that. And I want to start with the position that at least it feels like is most likely the Falcons will take. We'll see. Certainly is a need. But the edge rusher, which of the guys that are going to get drafted do you feel like is most NFL ready?
Well, the guy I feel is most NFL ready might not even be on their draft board because of medicals, and that's Latu from UCLA. I think he's the most toolsy edge rusher in this draft. He's very refined. But I know for a fact that there'll be many teams that don't even have him on their draft board just because of his medical history. But he's a really, really good prospect. He reminded me watching him this year, and I actually watched him last summer, too, from his 2022 tape. He reminded me of T.J. Watt coming out of Wisconsin. You know, similar build, similar way he moved. And again, so people understand, I'm not talking about T.J. Watt right now, right, where he's, you know, arguably one of the two or three best pass rushers in the league. But I think a lot, too, stylistically is similar.
What about the other two guys, Greg, that are being, you know, especially Dallas Turner? Obviously, he's being mocked to the Falcons. And like you said, I'm with you on the lot two thing. But now I come around, if no teams, the Falcons don't mind it, I don't mind it. But between Verse and then Dallas Turner, what are the differences between those two guys?
Yeah, they're totally different, Randy. Verse is a power player. Verse has great first-step explosiveness. He's a hand-in-the-ground rusher. Okay. When he's in a three-point stance, he has no wasted steps, no wasted motion. When he stands up, he has wasted steps. So he is an old-school, put your hand in the ground, rush the quarterback, big-time power. That's his game. He's a power player. Turner is much more of the athlete. Turner is bendy, flexible. Not that he has no power, but that's not really the way his game is built. He's an explosive athlete, pretty loose-hipped. That motorcycle lean we talked about where he can clear the arc and flatten his rush path to the quarterback. So they're totally different types of players. You have to decide, you know, number one, who you like better, and number two, which series of traits do you feel is better for a guy to be truly successful in the league. You can be successful either way, right, but, you know, you have to decide which guy you like.
With the Falcons picking at 8, and again, who knows what happens in front of them, but seems pretty possible that they'll be the first.
A lot of offensive players are going to be taken in front of them. That's what we do know.
Exactly. Pretty good chance all offensive players will be taken in front of them.
Yeah.
So they'll have the first crack at a defensive player if they want to go that direction. Is there an interior defensive lineman that you feel is worthy of them selecting at number 8?
Well, to be honest with you guys, I don't get caught up in like the idea of reaching for a player because I don't do mocks and I don't do lists. I think Byron Murphy is the best interior defensive player in this draft. I think that, you know, the thing about drafting guys early or drafting guys wherever you draft them, if they turn out to be great players, they're great players. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I'm not comparing Byron Murphy one-on-one to Aaron Donald, but I think Aaron Donald was, what, like the 13th or 14th pick in a draft, if memory serves me correctly.
Yep.
So, you know, Byron Murphy to me is clearly the best interior D-tackle. He's stylistically similar to Aaron Donald. So, you know, if that's what you're looking for, you know, he's a three technique. He's a gap player. But he's very, very strong. His lower half is just ridiculously strong. But he is an explosive athlete. So to me, if you're looking for a defensive tackle, he'd be the guy.
What about the receiver? I mean, me and Andy, we're Marvin Harrison. We've been Marvin Harrison Jr. and everything like that. But Malik, I mean, he's been special. I mean, I know he was great last year, but he's been great since he was at LSU. Then obviously Roman Dunze, he is another special player. I mean, when you look at all three of these guys, how far apart are the separation, in your opinion, Greg, between the three?
To me, and again, this is just, you know, based on my tape study, and I don't know the guys, so I can't speak to the personalities. I would say that Marvin Harrison and Neighbors are a notch above Adunze. And I think with Harrison and Neighbors, because they're different style receivers, it comes down to who do you like better. I personally like Marvin a little better, but it's not as if one's a 10 and one's an 8. I mean, I like Marvin. He's a 10. You know, Neighbors would be a 9.999. You know, Neighbors is such a powerful man. You know, Neighbors with the ball in his hand is truly special. And he can stop. That's one thing that's rarely talked about with receivers. I mean, he can be running at full speed, and he can stop. And that's really hard to do. So it just comes down to, you know, who you like better, how you see that fitting into your offense. The Falcons essentially have Adunze on their roster. They have Drake London. Mm-hmm. And I think that Neighbors and Harrison are both better prospects than Adunze.
And it sounds like, however you're slicing it, it sounds like those are the top three in terms of that position. Who do you have in the next group? I don't know if it's a fourth and the fifth that are close, but who is the next couple guys at the wide receiver position that you view as right after those three?
Well, and I will say this, guys. There's so many variables when you draft players. Almost everybody is a projection, and then it depends on team, scheme, how they're coached. And that's why a lot of, you know, That's why 32 guys drafted in the first round, all 32 don't become stars. You know, there's so many variables. My next guy, if I was just thinking in terms of traits, and I actually think you can make the argument that his traits are better than Adunze's, is A.D. Mitchell from Texas. I think his film is really, really good. He's got phenomenal traits. I don't know where he's going to get drafted, but he would be my next guy for sure.
Sure.
What is it about – we always know this, G. The quarterbacks are always going to be overdrafted. They're going to be pushed up and everything like that. But, I mean – obviously, Caleb is the number one guy. The toss and turn between Drake May and Jaden Daniels, who knows, two or three like that. But the guys after them, and I'm talking about specifically J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, and all those different things. If Michael Penix didn't have the injuries, Greg, would he be in that first-tier group of these guys? And how do you see J.J. McCarthy's game translating?
Well, let me just start by saying all six guys are not going to become all pros. We know that.
Yes.
But we don't know which guys will and which guys won't. That's the thing, you know. But all six will not, you know, if history is any guide. McCarthy is the guy that is the most fascinating to me because, quite frankly, guys, his tape was not very good. He does not have first-round tape. I've spoken to a lot of people in addition, of course, to doing my own work. I probably watched 15 McCarthy games. McCarthy, I've gotten from most people that he's a third-round player. And which pretty much is what the tape says. But we know that's not going to happen. So McCarthy's got a lot of things that need to be really cleaned up if he's going to become a really good player. Plus, he needs to be in a situation that's conducive for that to happen. He needs a complete team. And that may or may not happen depending on how high he gets drafted. So we'll see about McCarthy. And again, in 3 years, maybe he'll be great.
Sure.
But all I can do sitting in my office is watch the tape, and he does not have first-round tape. Penix is an interesting guy because he was in an offense that really featured intermediate and vertical throws, and he's the best intermediate and vertical thrower of the main guys in this draft class. You know, the fascinating thing about Penix is he didn't move a lot in college, but he never got sacked, which means that the ball was coming out. He got rid of the football. So we'll see. Penix throws the ball really, really well. So those two guys, it'll be interesting. McCarthy is, from everything he hears, going to get drafted before Penix, but I think Penix's college tape was far superior to McCarthy's.
Is there any evidence to suggest that the league is getting better at quarterback evaluating?
Well, the way I'd answer that question, Andy, is I think quarterback evaluating is really hard. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, because of social media, it's easy for fans when you get one wrong to say, aha, you liked this guy, okay? You know, somebody brought up to me on tape that I like Josh Allen coming out of UCLA. Well, there's 100 reasons why Josh Allen didn't make it, but I spoke to a coach who said that Josh Allen in that draft was the sweetest thrower of the football in that draft. That's what I'm seeing when I watch tape.
Sure.
But there's 100 reasons why guys make it or don't make it. And, you know, once you have access to the result, then, you know, the guy sitting in the 700 level, you know, it's easy to say, well, you're wrong. That's easy. You know, coaches get it wrong because there's so many variables. You don't know if the problems you see on tape can be corrected. You don't know if you can reach the quarterback and how you coach him. You don't know the rest of the team. Does he have to score 30 points a game just to compete early in his career? There's so many variables. Guys, it's not that guys are wrong, Andy. These guys know what they're doing. You know, and I think fans think they don't, but they know what they're doing. I'm sure you guys talked to coaches. Randy, you played in the league. Coaches know what they're doing. They work at this 16 hours a day, but there's just so many variables that it's not an exact science.
Last one for me, Greg. You know, I can't let you off this without talking about some of the dogs that are coming out. Talking about Brock Bowers. And Mims seemed like they were probably going to be the only two first-rounders out of Georgia.
Yeah, Mims is one of the most fascinating players in the draft, Randy, because you can make the argument that he's got the best traits of any offensive tackle in this draft. I would make that argument. But he started 8 games, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's been hurt all the time. He's supposed to be a great kid. You may know him. I don't know him, obviously. You know, again, this almost relates back to the quarterbacks. If you draft Mims because the traits are ridiculously good, do you know what you're getting for sure, Randy? The guy's played 8 games, mm-hmm. and he's always hurt. So do you know what you're getting for sure?
No.
But yet, if he were to become what the traits say he could become,
right,
and everything changes and he plays, he could be one of the best offensive tackles in the league.
What about Brock?
Well, Brock's just Brock. I mean, what else can you say about him? The guy that I really like and I'm fascinated to see where he gets drafted and how teams see him is Javon Bullard.
Oh, okay.
I really like Javon Bullard's tape a lot. I think he's such a smart, aware, savvy player. He played slot in 2022. This year he basically played on the back end for the most part. You know, I think he's just one of those guys that knows how to play ball. You know, Randy, there's always guys like that that might not have the best physical traits in the world, but they just know how to ball.
Greg, we appreciate it, as always. Thank you. Appreciate it, brother.
All right, guys, appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Greg Cosell there, NFL Films, NFL Network. A lot of great info about the prospects coming out. And, yeah, Bullard just has a nose for the ball.
Dude, he seems like he's going to play a long time.
Yeah. I can think of one instance specifically.
Kabow! That's what happened.
What if they end up as teammates?
I would love it because I would walk around. Every time I walk up, I kabow!
I have to ask him about it.
That's what he did to Marvin Harrison.
Remember anything about that hit?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Not much. Not much. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL No Huddle to kick off the noon hour. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.